Good morning, and welcome to the Cyber Smart Morning News Update. With the always evolving world of cyber threats and defense, you need a source you can trust. FBI retired Special Agent Darren Mott guides you through today's intricate cyber landscape and brings you the latest headlines and insights and what it means to you. Let's dive into today's cyber news.
Good morning, friends. It is Monday, April 1st, 2024. This is the Cyber Smart Morning News Update. I am your host, retired FBI Supervisory Special Agent Darren Mott. And even though it's April Fool's Day, I can guarantee you that none of the articles listed in today's show are jokes. They are all real, all true, all problematic. I'll have lessons that can be learned by all of them. So thanks so much again for those of you who continue to download and listen spread the information and share the cyber news wherever you can, or the cyber education wherever you can, because the more people understand the threats targeting them, they can better live in this online world. So as you can tell, I have somewhat of a slight spring cold. So if my voice sounds a little different, or if I suddenly pause for coughing, you'll kind of know why. So let's get right into it. Bleepingcomputer.com, Lawrence Abrams reporting, AT&T confirms data for 73 million customers leaked on a hacker forum. Now, if you remember, a couple of weeks ago, we discussed this particular incident, and AT&T said, no, wasn't us, didn't happen. But sadly, that is not the case. AT&T has finally confirmed it is impacted by a data breach affecting 73 million current and former customers after initially denying the leak data originated from them. This comes after AT&T has repeatedly denied for the past 2 weeks that a massive trove of leaked customer data originated from them or that their systems had been breached. While the company continues to say there's no indication their systems were breached, it has now confirmed that the leakage belongs to 73 million current and former customers. Quote, based on our preliminary analysis, the data set appears to be from 2019 or earlier, impacting approximately 7.6 million current AT&T account holders and approximately 65.4 million former account holders, AT&T said in a statement shared by BP Computer, and I can probably say I am one of those particular 7.6 million. The company further says that the security passcodes used to secure accounts were also leaked for 7.6 million customers. Well, that's not good. In 2021, a threat actor known as Shiny Hunters claimed to be selling the stolen data of 73 million AT&T customers. This data includes names, addresses, phone numbers, and for many customers, social security numbers and birth dates. At the time, AT&T denied they suffered a breach of the data or the data originated from them. Fast forward to 2024, and another threat actor leaks the massive data set on a hacking forum, stating it was stolen by Shiny Hunters. Bleeping Computer has analyzed the data and determined it contains the same sensitive information that Shiny Hunters claimed was stolen. However, not every customer had their social security number or birth date exposed by the incident. AT&T once again denied they had suffered a breach or that the data originated from them. However, Bleeping Computer has spoken to over 50 AT&T and DirecTV customers since the data was leaked, and they told us that the leaked data contains information that was only used for their AT&T account. So this is obviously a problem for AT&T. They really would be good if they just came out and said, here's exactly what happened. And it's possible they don't know. They just are unaware of how they got in, and the bad guys may still be even in the system for all we know. I doubt that's the case, but it's certainly problematic. So this just goes to show, if you are an AT&T customer, previous or past, or current or past, go and change your passwords at AT&T, because you're going to have to, because they've already changed them for you. So when next time you go to log into your system, you're going to have to change everything. But you're going to want to change passwords elsewhere. In other words, I guarantee you a majority of these people whose information was compromised use the same password and information in other user accounts, and that is going to create a host of other issues. Now, you would like to think that AT&T, being a fairly large digital data provider, would understand the need for cybersecurity. They probably make lots of money every year and should be able to afford the ability to protect and stave off such actions, or at a minimum would have their data at rest encrypted so that if a hacker got into the system, they would not be able to access the data because it would be unreadable. But again, clearly that is not the case. This is not good. And so again, if you're an AT&T user, check your password that you were using and figure out where you were using that password elsewhere. You're going to need to change it everywhere if you use the same password in other
accounts. Cybernews.com. This is more of a commentary, but it's an interesting article. It's from Jerpita Lapiente, chief editor of Cybernews.com. It's called "The Horrors of Scam Slavery." Not every romance scammer is a posh socialite in a lavish lifestyle. Many of those McDreamies are, in fact, slaves risking electrocution for their scam quotas not being met. On March 13th, law enforcement raided a heavily fortified compound near Manila, the capital of the Philippines, where crooks held nearly 1,000 victims of human trafficking and forced them to operate online romance scams. While it's common to imagine scammers as powerful individuals living lavish lives with fancy cars and wealth, they're actually victims too in many cases. If you were scammed out of $1,000 by a scam slave, would you feel better than if you got scammed by a rich dandy? That's a kind of a question in the article. Victims lost a staggering $1.3 billion last year to romance scams. We can only suspect that the actual number is much higher. You can definitely assume that's the case. Quite often, people choose not to report the losses because they feel they have no hope of getting the money back, which they don't, and sometimes from embarrassment and shame. But money in most cases isn't even the most important thing that people lose. Just as in the case of theft, they're also being robbed of a sense of security. And this kind of goes on to talk about a little bit about these, and it's similar to the compounds where pig butchering is going on, where people are being held against their will and forced to do these kind of things. I get these notes on LinkedIn several times a day. It's always the same entry, so it's easy to detect the scam, but I know what to look out for. It's important to, again, with this, obviously you're going to feel bad about people who are being held victim, who are being, you know, held against their will to do this. That's a problem. But it kind of highlights that this goes on simply because of the amount of money that is lost, and why it's important to educate the seniors in your life that are most likely to be victimized by this, and make them aware of these scams going on and how to protect them. Now, how do we protect these folks that are being held as slaves? I sadly don't think we can, but it's just goes to show that it's a problem that's not going to go away anytime soon. It's an interesting article. I'd go read more of it if you're interested, but it just kind of goes to show the depth and breadth of this problem beyond just, the individuals who are ultimately victimized, but the people doing the victimization are victims themselves. Darkreading.com, David Strom reporting, cloud email filtering bypass attack works 80% of the time. A majority of enterprises that employ cloud-based email spam filtering services are potentially at risk thanks to a rampant tendency to misconfigure them. Computer scientists have discovered a shockingly prevalent misconfiguration in popular enterprise cloud-based email spam filtering services, along with an exploit for taking advantage of it. The finding reveals new organizations are far more open to email-borne cyber threats now than they know, which is a problem because most of the cyber bad stuff that happens starts at email, at the email level. In a paper that will be presented at the upcoming ACM Web 2024 conference in Singapore in May, the authoring academic research team noted that services in wide use from vendors such as Proofpoint, Barracuda, Mimecast, and others could be bypassed in at least 80% of the major domains that they examined. So there's more to this article. I'm not going to dig into it a lot deeper, other than to show that when you offload your risk to a third party, it's none guarantee your data and your information is going to be protected. So this is hopefully a wake-up call to these email filtering companies to fix their issues, because chances are whatever this problem is can certainly be solved. But there is one interesting point here in this article. It's not mentioned by the authors, but an important factor is the fact that configuring all three of the major email security protocols, SPF, domain-based message authentication reporting conformance, or DMARC, and domain keys identified mail, are needed to be truly effective at stopping spam. But that isn't easy even for experts. I can attest to that. I have my own email domains. I'm not sure I've got mine configured correctly, but again, I don't get a lot of email on those. I'm not that concerned. It's just myself. I'm only protecting my own information, so I'm not that concerned with it. But still, if you're an organization and you can't configure those yourselves, it's going to leave you open to a host of different potential threats. It's important to find people who know what they're doing with this to configure them correctly. But again, if the vendors that are providing the service can't configure it correctly, what's that mean for the rest of us? Good God, that's certainly going to be a problem going forward. Cyberscoop.com, Tim Starks. Avante linked breach of CISA, or the Computer Information Infrastructure Security Agency of DHS, potentially affected more than 100,000 individuals. A senior CISA official shared details with Cyberscoop regarding the incident after the agency notified Congress about it on Friday. The Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency notified lawmakers on Friday that a when no one's paying attention, that a recent breach of its chemical plant security tool that was linked to flawed Avante products potentially affected more than 100,000 individuals, triggering a disclosure to Congress under the federal cybersecurity law. The size of the breach makes it a major incident under the threshold established by the Federal Information Security Management Act. Hackers breached the Chemical Security Assessment Tool, or CSAT, which houses information about chemical plant security plans as well as other CISA systems. CISA Gateway, which is a portal for tools to help secure critical infrastructure, the agency said, is also beginning to notify affected peoples and companies. Now, does it even say what the information was here? I wonder. You would think that if they disclosed it, they would say that. But it does not appear to be the case. But again, goes to show the entities that are so widespread at telling us how we need to protect ourselves and coming up with rules and laws for us to live by have their own issues. Again, not blaming them for getting hacked, or, you know, this was a 0-day vulnerability that no one knew existed. So you can't really blame them for that. They were using a tool that was designed to help them manage their systems. And so they're not the only ones that were hit with this Avante issue. But again, it goes to show that we need to be aware and stay on top of where these breaches occur so that if our data is involved in it, we can take means to protect it and mitigate that risk for us going forward. ArsTechnica.com. This is Dan Gooden reporting. Backdoor found in widely used Linux utility breaks encrypted SSH connections. Now, I saw this on LinkedIn. It's kind of been all over the news places. I probably should have had this first or second, but sorry. Researchers have found a malicious backdoor in a compression tool that made its way into widely used Linux distributions, including those from Red Hat and Debian. Actually, Red Hat came out and said it affects all of theirs. The compression tool known as XZUtils introduced the malicious code in versions 5.6.0 and 5.6.1, according to Andres Freund, the developer who discovered it. There are no known reports of those versions being incorporated into any production releases for major Linux distributions, but both Red Hat and Debian reported that recently published beta releases used at least one of the backdoored versions, specifically in Fedora Rawhide and Debian testing unstable and experimental distributions. A stable release of Arch Linux is also affected. This distribution, however, isn't used in production systems. Okay, so because the backdoor was discovered before the malicious versions were added to production versions of Linux, it is not really affecting anyone in the real world. So that's good. That's a thumbs up. Bill Dorman, the senior vulnerability analyst at security firm Analgence, said in an online interview, but that's only because it was discovered early due to bad actor sloppiness. Had it not been discovered, it would have been catastrophic to the world. Several people, including Tunes Ars readers, reported that the multiple apps included in the Homebrew Package Manager for macOS rely on the backdoored 5.6.1 version of XZUtils. Homebrew has now rolled back the utility to version 5.4.6, and there's more details at another link. So what this particular thing does is it breaks US or SSH authentication, which is a secure connection capability, and certainly would be a problem. Now, what this shows and why this is important to realize is that bad guys are, this is an important way in looking at how bad guys are looking to get into the supply chain and send their information out in a way that is undiscoverable. Because if this particular vulnerability or malware, whatever you want to call it, had found its way onto Linux production Linux distribution systems, it'd be there for the bad guys to access whenever they wanted to. And it would take a while to figure out, root them out, fix the problem once it was deployed out. So hopefully this kind of goes to show the need for software assurance in the sense of, you know, having a third party look at your software and make sure that code is not there. I've actually interviewed a couple guys on the Cyber Guy podcast that this is what they do. They do software vulnerability testing and find issues within software to try to protect and stop these kind of issues. But again, if you are a Linux user, just be aware of this. And we'll see. This is going to be interesting. I think there's going to be more to this going forward. But again, it just goes to show the techniques used by the bad guys are constantly evolving and hard for us to stay on top of. CSOonline.com, Shweta Sharma reporting, your employees are using sensitive corporate devices for personal browsing. Study shows that more than 97% of employees, or basically all of them, use the same device for work and personal activities. Employees in the U.S. are opening themselves and their organizations to a range of cyber attacks, as a vast majority is found to be using corporate devices with sensitive access to corporate resources for personal browsing, according to a CyberArk study. The study, which asked browsing-related questions to more than 4,000 office workers in the U.S., found that more than 97% of them use the same devices, including phones, laptops, tablets, and desktops, for both work and personal activities. We are often blind to what is going on within a web browser, and we assume the best, but security by assumption is a risky proposition, said Michael Sampson, an analyst at Osterman Research. With so many activities in the enterprise being undertaken from a browser rather than a rich client, it's a treasure chest of cyber threat actors if they can figure out ways to compromise sensitive information. So the point here being, there's more you can read about this if you want. Just understand your employees aren't probably taking safe security browsing, right? But lock it down. Yeah, everybody has a phone. If you need to check Amazon, use your phone. You don't have to use the company laptop or the company desktop to do this, but companies allow it. I mean, one of the things I've said many times is if I ran a company, I would not allow my employees to use my company computer to check their personal email. Since the majority of attacks occur through email, only use it for business email. Now, does that mean the bad guy's not going to get through business email? No, it doesn't certainly mean that, because they could, but you're limiting and reducing your risk profile if you don't open up things that could cause bigger problems. So this is not a surprising article, quite frankly, but certainly an issue that companies should realize, but I don't think they do. I don't think they have the right leadership in place to understand these threats, think about these threats, or even concern themselves with these threats until a bad thing happens. But that's more of an opinion on my part. Well, I went way long, so I apologize for this going over 15 mm-hmm. minutes. You would think in six articles I could keep that down, but you know, sometimes I have things to say. So as always, I thank you for taking the time to download, listen. If you have questions, thoughts, or comments on the podcast, feel free to email me, Darren@cyberguy.com. Follow me on LinkedIn, Substack, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. As you go through your day, know that knowledge is protection. If we can understand the threats targeting us, we can assess our risk, proceed wisely. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day.
CyberSmart Morning News is written and produced by CyberGuy Productions. Feel free to email thoughts, comments, or suggestions to Darren@thecyberguy.com or follow Darren on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/in/DarrettMott. Thanks for listening.